Today's reading will be from 1 John 3:16 to 24. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods, yet sees a brother or sister in need, and yet refuses to help? Little children, let us love not in word or speech, but in truth and action. And by this we will know that we are from the truth and will reassure our hearts before him whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have boldness before God. Condemn, and we receive from him whatever we ask, because we obey his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he has commanded us. All who obey his commandments abide in him, and he abides in them. And by this we know that he abides in us, and the Spirit that he has given us.
The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Will you pray with me, please? Loving and gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be suitable and acceptable to you on this day. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, it's Mother's Day, a great day for baptism. Our scripture lesson today is about loving one another. But it's about more than just loving one another. It's about loving one another with our actions rather than just our words. We throw the word love out all the time. I love pizza. I love this. It's not the same as the kind of love that John talks about in the gospel this morning. This letter is written not to a people he was hoping to convert to Christianity, but it was written to a people who already believed, and that would be us. It's a letter telling us how we should live out our Christian faith. John writes, "We know what love is, for Jesus Christ laid his life down for us." He also said, "Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with our actions and in truth." In other words, my friends, talk is cheap. Talk is cheap, and actions mean everything.
Amen.
The whole idea behind the New Testament is that God's love is made real to us in the presence of Jesus Christ, and in the way that he lives and loves, even loving us to the death and beyond. This is powerful stuff. This kind of love. It's powerful. It's not the, I'll scratch your back if you scratch mine kind of thing. It's a love that is poured out to us no matter what the cost is. It demands nothing in return, but it does get noticed nonetheless. It gets noticed not for the sake of getting notice, if that makes any sense. It's not about something that's showy. It's the kind of love that was practiced by Mother Teresa, by St. Augustine, and by countless missionaries and servant leaders, and yes, by mothers and ordinary disciples just like you and me. And it happened all through the centuries. Now, John says we ought to lay down our lives for one another. So what does that mean? We are probably never, ever going to be called to give up our physical lives for someone else. But we are all called to put our own wants and needs aside in order to do what we can to help meet the needs of others, to be able to share people's burdens, to be able to seek to alleviate pain, to alleviate suffering, if we can at all do that. That, my friends, is what love is. It means looking at our glass as always full enough to be able to share with other people, as being happy with what we have and not hoarding our time or our talents or our possessions. To lay down our lives for one another means that we will live in community, that we will work at the hard parts of being community. And I think you all can agree, we've been through the hard parts of being in community over these last two, almost 3 years. It means sometimes that we have to shut up and put up with things for the good of the whole. It's not always about our needs and wants. It's about what's good for the group. It means we don't pack up our little red wagon and go home at the first sign of discord. Or if the music doesn't exactly fit our taste. Or if the preacher doesn't always say exactly what we want the preacher to hear. John asks us how those who have been given to us as our brothers and sisters who need help, how can we look at them and turn our backs on them? How can we walk away from those that God has given us to care for? You see, John tells us that this is the measure of the Christian life. Not what we say, but how we act and how we live. Now, do we always get that right? No. None of us ever do. John Wesley, who is the founder of the United Methodist Church, defined Christian perfection as having a habitual love for God and neighbor. But John Wesley also admitted that he had not achieved this perfection in his lifetime. And in fact, as part of the ordination vows that I took several years ago, one of the questions was asked, are you moving on towards perfection? Because that's the hope that we will all try to be as perfect as we possibly can. Wesley thought that he'd gotten glimpses of it at times, but he had never ever achieved that. You know, we all have the best of intentions. But when the rubber hits the road, it can be very difficult to always do the right thing. When we actually have to give up of our time to volunteer for the food pantry, or to show up for a meeting, or a work day, or to go and visit someone who is sick, we may sometimes be tempted to find other things that we would rather be doing. When we're asked to open up our checkbooks and help out, we might rationalize that we'd really rather use that money on something else, something for ourselves. And when that friend comes to us needing someone to lean on, we might make excuses of why we can't get together. But my friends, it's during these times that we experience that little twinge in our hearts. And we begin to feel condemned because we know that God is greater than our hearts and we belong to God. We know we are not being our best self, or who we really want to be, or who we are created to be through God's Spirit living within us. And so we pray for forgiveness, and we pray for resolve that we're going to do better. While none of us is perfect, we try. And that's noble, to try and make sure that our actions reflect who we say we are. And for us as Christians, that means being intentional and making sure our actions reflect as best they can the love of Christ, who first loved us. But have you ever noticed that there are a number of people who don't trust Christians anymore? And I get that. A lot of people that think that Christians are hypocrites. And my friends, the truth of the matter is we are. And it's not because we are Christians that we are hypocrites. It's because we are human that we are hypocrites. None of us is always the person that we want to be. But our job as followers of Jesus Christ is to try. I mean, look how often the disciples messed up all the time. But they kept getting back up on their feet and following and trying to keep up with Jesus and do what Jesus would have them do. And you also notice over and over again that Jesus was patient with them. We are all saints, but we are also all sinners. When we fall down, which will be more than we want to admit, when we fail to do what we think we should do, it's an opportunity for us to gain humility and to become even more in love with Jesus, who loves and died for us as sinners. And that's one way that we can grow. But again, to grow, we have to try. We have to try to be the people that we say we are on a Sunday morning. Because a lot of times, who we say we are and how we behave on a Sunday morning is far different than when we walk out these doors. And I tell this all the time, and we toddle off to one of the local restaurants, because I've told you all of this before. Waitresses and waiters do not like to work on Sundays, because the least day that they get tipped and thanked is on Sundays. Now, I think that's a sad commentary on all of us. I try when we, a lot of times we'll take a group and we'll go to Hacienda, it's always like, make sure you leave a good tip, make sure you leave a good tip. Because now they want to wait on us when they see us coming in, because they know that they're probably going to get a good tip. And at least, hopefully, we will be nice. Or when you leave here and you go to Meijer and you're in a hurry and you're short with the person, you've just left church and you're grumpy. Let's be who Christ has called us to be. We have to try to be the people that we say we are on Sunday mornings. We also have to be real. And being real includes loving not with words or speech, but with our actions. Ideally, a church should be the kind of community that is in no way perfect. And let me tell you, you've seen the most imperfect part of this church that I've seen in 19 years this morning. And microphones not working, videos not working, all of these kinds of things. But yet, worship went on. We were able to baptize a baby. Didn't require any technology. We were able to do it. And now my microphone's working. Thank you, Jesus. But we want to be the kind of church where we're not perfect, but where without saying a word about what we believe, people will know we are Christians. As the song says, they will know we are Christians by our love. It doesn't say that they're going to know us because we say so. Christians are not called to be holier than thou. We are called to be humble servants. We are called to serve, and we are called to love without a hidden agenda. And in this text that John wrote for us, it says we are to do that habitually. We're to make it a habit to love without agenda. And the other thing is, we don't exist for ourselves. We exist for what goes on outside these doors. We exist for others. Whenever someone asks a favor of our church or thanks us for doing something, I always try to say, it's a privilege to be able to do this for you. We are here for our community and not the other way around. And sometimes we as churches forget that. We are to measure who we are as a church by asking ourselves what we have done for our neighbors and for those whose lives depend on seeing and experiencing the love of Christ lived out in flesh. One of the things that we do, and I'm saying this for the sake of our visitors this morning, is we have a very small food pantry, but what we've done is we've set up a food pantry at Laurel Woods Apartments, which is a low-income apartment complex over on off of Laurel Road. And we've set it up in their laundry room, so they have access to it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We restock it on Sundays. We do that not so that we get patted on the back, but so that we can be Those people are our neighbors. And we do that to support them and to say, you know, we're here. And we've had folks from them come and you know, ask for some other things. And we've been able to do that because we're not here for ourselves. We're here for the community. The other thing is, we need not to judge ourselves or other people. We need to make sure that we are not being judgy continually, constantly, and that we can love other people. You know, many people these days think the church is a modern day hate group because we've zeroed out. We don't like this, we don't like this, we don't like this. And yet the most important thing that's at the center of it all is that God said to believe in the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded. Not the people that look like us, not the people who believe like us, not the people who act like us, but to believe and to love as Christ commanded us to love all. If you go back a few verses from where Peter read this morning, John says, this is the message that you have heard from the beginning. And when he refers to that, he's referring to the beginning of Christ's ministry, that we should love one another. Anyone who hates a brother or a sister is a murderer, and you know no murderer has eternal life residing in him. So do we hate people? How many times do we say, well, I hate that person, or I hate this? We have to be honest with ourselves about that. And if we find that we do have hate in our hearts for anyone, then we need to repent and fall on our face, just like the tax collector in Jesus' parable did, and to cry out, God, forgive me, for I am a sinner. Because you see, that's what it's all about. It's not about being perfect. It's not about trying to be something that we're not. It's about moving forward. We talked about this last week. It's taking that step forward because we can't go back. What's happened behind us and in the past is in the past. You can't change that. You can't correct that. You can only take steps forward and try to be the best you can be. The world is full of many Christians, people who call themselves Christians. But what our world needs today are followers of Jesus Christ. The scripture is asking us that this morning, that how are we, you and I, how are we going to be a people not of word and speech, but of truth and action? Just think about that for a minute. How can we be people of action? How are we going to be the people that our world needs us to be? How are we going to be the people that our families need us to be? How are we going to be the people that we need us to be? You know, God has a great plan for each and every one of us here today. Every one of us, there's a plan. And God has brought us together not just for worship this morning. It's no coincidence that we are here, and especially part of Wendy and Dale's family, that you're here this morning. It's about supporting each other as friends and family. It's about being there. You guys are going to be so important in Ariel's life. You have been, and you will continue to be. And let me tell you, she's going to need every one of you, and she's going to need Northwest United Methodist Church as well. She's going to need people who care about her and are willing to say and teach her who Jesus is. You see, God has great things in store for this church and great things in store for Ariel. Some people say that the journey every week starts in church. So I want you to think of this church as your launching pad. Here we say and sing the words of our faith. And perhaps the faith that's been passed down to us from many of the women who are sitting here this morning or who are watching online. From our fathers, from our grandparents, from other saints or saints that aren't even related to us that have loved us through lots of different things. And when we leave here today, we go out into a world that needs us. My friends, it needs us to pass the faith on through our actions. Because talk is cheap. Actions are not. It's a world that needs followers, not Christians in name only. The good news is that we are not in this alone. We, my friends, are a community of people who want to do that. That's why you're here this morning. We want to be a people of action. We want to love God. We want to love our neighbors in tangible ways. But we have to have everybody on board in order to do that. We are all part of God's great call on this church. We're all a piece of the puzzle. And each of us is equally important. I'm not more important just because I'm the pastor. We are all equally important. God wants to do great things through each of you sitting here this morning. And speaking now to our church family, He wants us to do great things. I want you to think about the fact that we've got a learning center that is growing by leaps and bounds. We've got a waiting list. Vicki told a family the other day that we probably will not have room for them until the end of 2023. We have a food pantry that provides that 24-hour, 7 days a week food for the folks at Laurel Woods Apartments. We have a small but very faithful group of people who take breakfast in the early mornings on Wednesday, every single Wednesday, to Broadway Christian Parish. We provide school supplies at the start of the school year to Laurel Woods. And there is so much more that God is calling each of us to do in our community. You see, God wants us to do great things. And we are so close. We just get over this pandemic hurdle. We are poised to do so much more for God. So many greater things. But we can't sit on the sidelines. Can't just sit at home and think. Because we think, well, somebody will do it. Somebody. Somebody named somebody, I guess. Because when we think somebody's going to do it, most of the time, nobody does it. We aren't going to be perfect, but we're going to do the best we possibly can. John said that this is how we know we belong to the truth, and the truth will set our hearts at rest in peace. God loves us, my friends, pure and simple, just the way you are. You don't have to change. You don't have to be somebody that you're not. God loves you the way you are, with all your flaws and your mistakes. And He knows all of them. This knowledge of God's love and grace, if we allow it, can fill us so that we are able to pour ourselves out for others without worrying that there's not going to be enough left for me. That there's not going to be enough left for ourselves or anybody else. And my friends, that kind of love is contagious. Once we truly experience and live into the love of God, we are compelled to spread it, however imperfectly that may be. And not by what we say, but by what we do. The question is, are you ready and willing to get on board with God's plan? Will you pray with me, please? Lord, we thank you for this day in which we've come to worship. We thank you for pushing us and reminding us that we don't have to be perfect, and that we aren't perfect, and that we're not going to be perfect. That we just need to keep moving forward one step at a time. That our community needs us. Our community needs us. And that we need to set aside the selfishness that we sometimes feel in order to do the work of Jesus Christ. Help us to be who you've called us to be.